Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. My beloved, today is the fourth Sunday of the month of Kiech, and it is the last Sunday before we celebrate together the great Feast of Nativity. And so today we conclude this first chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke. And this chapter was divided for us into four different parts, and we've been reading the first chapter of St. Luke ever since the beginning of the month of Kiech. And so we've seen the annunciation of the birth of St. John to Zacharias, we've seen the announcement of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ to St. Mary. Last week we've seen the visit of St. Mary to her cousin Elizabeth, and how it is that the baby inside the womb of Elizabeth leaped when he heard the voice of the mother of our Savior coming to him. And today we read about how it is that St. John is born, and they call him St. John. Now here we see also how it is that Zacharias the priest, who had stood before the angel Gabriel and who had challenged him and told him, "How do I know that what you're telling me is true?" And how it is that the archangel Gabriel told him that he will be muted until the day that he sees the manifestation of the miracle of God in his life. And so finally here, when he sees the manifestation of the miracle workings of God in his life, and he sees his child drawn, born from his wife Elizabeth, his tongue is finally loosed and he is capable of speaking. And when Zacharias finally speaks, he prophesies and he is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Scripture tells us how it is that when he speaks, he says things that are so important for us today to understand what is the purpose of the feast that we are celebrating. My beloved, too many of us, during this coming week, are going to be so focused on the festivities, so focused on the food that we will cook, so focused on what it is that we will wear, so focused on the decorations in the home, so focused on buying last-minute gifts, so focused on figuring out how it is that we'll be able to gather despite all of this craziness that surrounds us and the guidelines and the restrictions and the limitations. There is so much to distract us from what is actually happening. There is a distraction that's intention is for us to not be able to focus on the real gift of what it is that we are celebrating this feast. But Saint Zacharias here seems to remind us of what it is we're supposed to keep our eyes on. Listen to the words that he speaks. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." You see, this visitation that Zacharias speaks of is precisely what it is that we're supposed to be preparing for. You see, Zacharias knows, as the priest of God among the Jewish people, that God was always close to his people. He always knew that God was close to Abraham and he spoke to Abraham. He always knew that God was close to Moses and he befriended Moses. He always knew about how it is that God worked with David and the prophets and the righteous men and women who came before him. But now he uses a very different verb. He doesn't simply say that God was near his people. He says that God visited his people. That God visited his people. He came to them when his people could not go to him. When his people had no way of being able to reach up to him, God was willing to come down and go visit his people and be among them. There's this beautiful word that is used in the Gospel of St. John. We in English, unfortunately, translate it and we say that God came and dwelt among us. But the real word that is used in the Greek is the Lord came and tabernacled among us. What is a tabernacle? A tabernacle is nothing more than a tent. And that's why in Arabic, bin samiha al-khaymah. He tabernacled among us. What does that mean? He set his tent and he decided to be among his people. He decided to be with them in all that they are, in their suffering, in their misery, in all that they suffer. He chooses to come and live and be with them and be one with them. Now Zacharias is capable of seeing this now. And he's capable of realizing that his son, John, will be a person who will come and prepare the way for him, who will truly be called the Son of God. And he knows that his son will be the forerunner, the one who comes to prepare the way for him who is the Savior. And so he says, truly, God has visited his people and has redeemed his people. What is the point of the Christmas gifts? What is the point of the food and the kahk and the celebrations if he's not at the center of it? What is the point if I don't realize that the whole purpose of my celebration is that God has looked down and has seen my misery, has seen my brokenness, has seen my poverty, has seen my suffering, and has said, I want to come and be with you. We do not have a God who sits in heaven and who looks at us from a distance and who laughs at us and says, you have to figure out a way to come to me. You need to solve this problem. You have to come up to me if you ever want to please me. Rather, we have a God who looked down at us and who said, I will come and be among them. I will share in their suffering. I will even take their suffering upon myself for the sake of being able to save them. And Zacharias was capable of seeing all of this because of the Holy Spirit that filled him. Let me ask you, do you believe that the Holy Spirit that filled Zacharias when he spoke this beautiful prophecy and this praise, do you think Zacharias received a different Holy Spirit than you and I received? Do you think that the Holy Spirit that came down upon Zacharias is different than the Holy Spirit that you received in chrismation and in baptism when the priest blew in your face and said, receive the Holy Spirit? Tabelesh, do you believe that the Holy Spirit that came upon the Holy Virgin Saint Mary and the babe that was in her womb came through that indwelling of that Holy Spirit, do you believe that Holy Spirit is any different than the Holy Spirit that indwells you? We teach our kids from the youngest of ages, and what do we tell them? Habibi, the Holy Spirit dwells where? Inside you. Don't we say that? Don't we tell our children, God is found inside you? Don't we tell our children, the Holy Spirit now indwells you, that you carry the Holy Spirit? Don't we tell our children, you are temples of God? Isn't that what we say? Let me ask you, what do you think it would look like if Christians actually believe that? What do you think would happen to the world if Christians really understood the mystery and the power of what it means for us to carry God within us? You see, Christ did not come and become a human being and take on the form of a bondservant and reveal himself as Jesus Christ of Nazareth just so we can have someone that we can look at and say, look, that's God. He didn't come so he can put on a display. He didn't come so he could say, you wanted to see me? Look, now you can see me. He didn't just come to show himself off. He came so he can place himself at our disposal, so that you and me can not only have a God that we recognize outside of us, but he came so that we can have a God that is capable of indwelling us. You see, God is not interested in walking next to us. God is not interested in being simply close to us. What God wants is union with us. Isn't that what happens when we teach our children about what happens in the mystery of marriage? Don't we tell our children, sure, Habibi, you see Baba and Mama as separate people, but the Holy Spirit came down upon Baba and Mama and now they are what? They are one. Do you think the church is simply saying that to be romantic? Do you think the church is only using that language so it can be philosophical and beautiful and we use words that are symbolic but they're not real? God forbid. that we should actually believe that. God forbid that we should think that somehow the language that the church teaches us is only meant to seem beautiful but isn't real. What the church teaches us is real. It is life. It is what grants us to truly understand what the kingdom of God is. Christ is not interested in only being a God who shows himself to us. He wants to be our bridegroom. And just the same way that every bridegroom and his bride are united and are one, our God is interested in becoming one with us, and every single one of us is his bride. Today we celebrate the feast of the great saint, Saint Ignatius of Antioch. The church gave him a beautiful name, gave him the title of Theophoros. Do you know what Theophoros means? Theophoros means one who carries God, one who is the bearer of God. As a matter of fact, Theophoros and Theotokos are very similar words. We think that Theotokos means the mother of God. It actually means the one who carried God. Theotokos and Theophoros are very similar. Do you think there's any difference? There's any difference between the way that the Holy Virgin Mother was united to her Savior because he was in her womb, and how it is that every single one of us is expected to carry God within us, in our heart and in our soul? Aren't we already, all of us, Theophoros because we have the Holy Spirit inside us? Is this not supposed to be the title that every Christian has? But let me ask you, how many of us believe that we are Theophoros after you receive the Holy Eucharist? How many of us truly believe that him whom we have received in his sacred body and blood is the same one who walked among his disciples, is the same one who raised Lazarus from the dead, is the same one who gave sight to the blind, and is the same one that dwelt in the womb of the Holy Virgin Mother? How many of us believe that we have received him and now we carry him inside us? Is that not union? Is that not an intimacy that is exactly the same intimacy that is shared between a bridegroom and his bride? The church is trying to tell you and me the feast of nativity is not simply us saying happy birthday to Jesus. It is us telling him, Lord, we are making room in order to be able to receive you. We are making room and preparing so that you can come and find your dwelling place within us. The entire world rejected you. There was no place found for you in all of Judea, in all of Bethlehem. All the doors were closed in your face, but I will make room for you. I will make room for you. You will not have to sleep next to the animals. You will not have to sleep in the manger. I will make for you a throne in my heart, and I will allow you, O Lord, to be the one who comes and finds a resting place inside me. How many of us have realized the mystery of the feast? You see, Zacharias, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, understood this. Because Zacharias truly believed it when he said that the Lord is visiting his people. And listen to what he says. As he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. How do I reach this point where I can serve him without fear? How do I reach this point where my enemies have nothing over me, no authority over me? And who do you think the enemies are? You see, at the time of the Jews, they thought that the enemy was Rome. They thought that the enemy was the government, because the empire wanted to rule them and overtake them and did not want to.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. and we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.